It's Thursday, and that means it's time to talk to a professional who would never forget a name.
So, I wish your son Miller all the best.
My name is Noah!
Why? Because his voice is so velvety smooth.
Yo, Manella, kick it one time, boy.
It makes the girls go...
Oh, my.
He's a rapper so fly.
So, if you want sports talk that's more than just a score, you gotta listen to Wade on KD Country 94. We got the tunes that'll make you shake and bake. Z96.3, The Lake.
He makes Eminem want to cry. It's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heaney.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Right now on The Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Millen Beloit. Or call them at 738-5701.
Oh, that sound means it's time for the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Heaney, and it also means it's a Thursday here on the Sports Ticket. Brian, how you doing, my man?
Doing great, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Had a fantastic Valentine's Day. Ate a ton of chocolate. Now going to go work out 24 hours in a row to burn off all those calories. And excited about KAU's win the other night against Iowa State. You never apologize winning a game on the road, especially when your two top scorers don't shoot the ball well and other guys step up.
Yeah, this was a big win. I mean, when you look at who all had lost there in Ames this season and by how many points they lost, Texas Tech losing by 16, West Virginia by 18, Oklahoma lost by 8, but the game really wasn't that close. This was a huge win up there, and one that obviously they had to have. I mean, you take a look at what's left here, just 5 games to go, 1 game back of Tech. You've got them head-to-head in Lubbock. There's no margin for error for any type of slippage, and these next two are huge, too, because if you want February 24th to truly be for the league crown, unless you know Tech trips up in Waco this weekend or the possibility of them losing in Morgantown on February 26th, which is after your game in Lubbock, that's relying on help. If you want to keep controlling your own destiny, you got to take care of business these next two. And so, you know, Tuesday was an important part to in that equation of making that game on February 24th for the conference crown, and they all are between now and then because, yes, I think Tech probably will lose one or two games before it's all said and done, but right now, having won 7 in a row and dispatching of Oklahoma by 10 on Tuesday, Kansas can't bank on others doing them a favor. K-State sure as heck didn't last Saturday. I got myself all worked up to work for to cheer for the Wildcats. I even wore purple that night. And you know, they looked like they hadn't seen a basketball before for about 20 minutes in the middle of that game.
You sound a little bitter.
The point is, I got my hopes up. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, KU's hole to climb out of. It's not often you see them down a game with 5 to go. And here's their chance now to take advantage of these next three toughest games you're going to have all year. They come back to back to back. But if you can get them, great shot will be there to have 14 straight, and I think Kansas certainly took a terrific step in the right direction in the quest for that 14th straight title.
Went back to the regular starting lineup, Newman and Vic, and they came up big as we mentioned earlier. And Svee's been struggling, but I think, you know, every shooter has a shooting slump. Would you rather it be now, or would you rather it be the NCAA tournament? I think we know the answer to that one. I want to address Devontae Graham for a moment because that's now 9 straight games where he has played all 40 minutes. And we've seen him struggle shooting the ball from time to time. He struggled against Iowa State. He's also, we've talked about the burden that is on his shoulders and, of course, the pressure of trying to win a 14th straight. I know this is a very difficult question to ask, but you're closer to the situation than most. Can a guy play the rest of the season playing all 40 minutes without wearing down?
Well, I think when you get into the NCAA tournament, the commercial breaks are longer, mm-hmm. So the TV timeouts give you a little bit more time to rest your legs. That's always been a boost. Coach Self does a masterful job of getting these guys off their feet as much as possible. 2 weeks ago, Devontae didn't practice for 3 straight days. So he's doing a great job of trying to keep those legs as fresh as possible. It's a factor, for sure. And the stat is he's played 510 out of a possible 520 wow. Big 12 conference minutes. That's crazy. It's a huge factor, I think. Having said that, when I watch him, I think the biggest factor in why he's had so many miserable shooting nights, how many times does he take shots that are off balance, off one leg, contested?
Yeah.
Devontae, a year ago, had Frank Mason to penetrate and pitch and set him up, rolling off a screen, catching it with the shoulder square and the feet set and all that. When he can do that, he's still a really, really good shooter. But, as we've talked before, he's not a plus finisher at the rim, and we saw him miss three shots right at the rim on Tuesday night. He's an excellent three-point shooter when he's squared up and set. He's forced now to take a lot of contested shots, a lot of off-balance shots, a lot of shots late in the clock when the offense hasn't generated the type of look that they wanted to get. And that's the difference between last year and this year with Graham, coupled with the fatigue factor that you just alluded to. Last year he had Frank to set him up. This year he's got to be that guy, and I'm not sure, as much as we love Malik and LeGerald and all these guys, that they've done as good a job for him in getting him his open looks as clearly, you know, he had and could do for Frank as well a year ago when those two were really feeding off of each other. I think that's a big factor. Look for that on Saturday versus West Virginia. You know, how many of his shots that go in are because, you know, he caught and shot in rhythm, maybe had a little bit of separation? How many shots that are missed are shots that... And Bill Self will tell you, sometimes it's shot selection with Devontae. Sometimes he takes shots that probably weren't the highest percentage look, but he feels like he has to because he's put so much on his shoulders, and this team this season, these circumstances have. You know, David Lawrence made the point the other day, who since Danny Manning has meant more to his team than Devontae?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say Devontae's Danny.
Right.
Danny had 2,900 points. It was the number one pick in the draft. Devontae won't be anything close to that. But in terms of all the Kansas teams in between 88 and 2018, there have been more other options to shoulder the load. You can afford to come off the floor because you've got X, Y, and Z to come in for you. This Kansas team doesn't. And at some point, that physical fatigue, that stress, and that just need to step up and make something happen is going to take a toll on his efficiency. And I think it has for Devontae, but still having a terrific season. And even on nights when he shoots 3 of 16, you see all the other little things he's capable of doing to help you win from a leadership standpoint, rebounding, assists, defense, all that. And that was there on Tuesday. So I know he was frustrated with the free throws he missed and all the shots that he couldn't throw in the ocean. But you look at the other parts of his game, and that's a sign of a true winner, the type of competitor Bill Self wants to have 10 of. And Devontae obviously is that and so much more.
He played all 40 minutes. He had 5 assists, 6 rebounds, no turnovers. That should be pointed out. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They have farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Millen Boyd, or call them at 738-5701. We talked about the lack of depth quite a bit, almost every single week on the show. But I want to ask you this. You know, Coach Self trying to send a message. Vic's been coming off the bench a few times this year. Of course, he had Newman come off the bench, and Garrett started against Baylor. And we saw with Lightfoot and Garrett on the floor for a good portion of that first half. They struggled offensively. You know, to me, human nature is, if I'm Malik Newman with Gerald Vic, I know I got to bring it with more consistency. There's no question about that. But if Coach Self's going to say, well, hey, you're not going to start. For some people, that's a big deal that they don't start. For other people, it's like, listen, you don't have anybody else on the bench. I know I'm going to play 28, 30 minutes anyway. It's just a matter of whether I'm introduced in the starting lineups or not. I would think it'd be a bigger deal at home games to be in the starting lineup than on the road. And so I know what Bill Self's trying to do, pull all the right strings, but this is so unique for him because in the past you've got McDonald All-Americans to bring off the bench, and you better step it up. And these kids aren't stupid. They know there isn't much on the bench. How does Coach Self balance and juggle that? Because it's one thing to threaten, hey, you're going to go to the bench because you're not giving me the effort that I need. But at the same time, there's not a lot of choices on that bench.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the greatest motivator is playing time, not starting lineup status. It's something you can take away, but if you really want to send a message, you bury a guy at the end of the bench and you cut 28 minutes a game down to 14.
Yeah.
They just don't have that luxury. And I think in a different season, there have at times been a frustration level from Coach that, you know, you would have seen a guy kind of get banished to the end of the bench and he'd be, you know, heard from few and far between. This team, this season, these circumstances, can't do it. And so it doesn't have the effect that it could have, taking a guy out of the starting lineup. Having said that, obviously, LeGerald responded like they wanted to see him respond. Coach Self's words were, he had an uptick all week long last week. Honestly, I thought there were stretches in the Baylor game where he really cost Kansas, but in terms of a mental preparedness and a tough competitiveness and all that standpoint, they saw the arrow pointing up for a full week, and that's what earned him the chance to get back in the starting lineup. And so it did work to that degree. It's not as effective of a tool as it might be, you know, if you could fully take away playing time, but clearly it worked. And with Malik, he played much better after a one-game demotion to the bench. And if for Kansas, it's just a matter of bottling that up, maybe because the remaining road in front of them is so short and the chances are so few, they'll have an even more dialed-in effort, game in, game out, day in, day out, every single practice, because they realize, okay, now we're looking up at somebody in the standings. Now we can count the number of games left on one hand, and that has to help, you would think, in terms of keeping guys dialed in and not being so up and down. Coach Self calls his team a Dow Joneser because of all the ups and downs that they've had in terms of effort and maintaining the type of consistency he expects out of them and commands. So I think for Kansas, you know, you hope you can bottle Tuesday up, because to have that type of balance, to have a couple of guys that haven't been consistent really bring it and be catalysts for you, that's exactly what you need. How many times this year has Kansas had all five guys hitting at the same time? And I'm not saying that was the case on Tuesday. Obviously, the two seniors combined to go 6 of 26. But the point is, you know, your starting lineup, everybody was in double figures. Everybody made contributions. Everybody getting on that bus, including Silvio De Sousa, you know, could feel like they really had a hand in that win. That's what it's going to take if they're going to run the table over the final six. One down, five to go. The next three are the toughest three. But I think Kansas really put themselves in a good spot of momentum and progress with what we saw on Tuesday.
Okay, before we get to the off-the-wall question, your thoughts on the two games coming up. They're huge. West Virginia at home at Allen Fieldhouse on Saturday, tip time 5 o'clock. Then Monday, big Monday, hosting Oklahoma. Oklahoma beat them earlier. They're down in Norman. That's a game that KU felt like they let slip away. OU's really struggling. I'm still kind of – I just don't get it. How OU is a 4 or a 5 seed in some of these mock brackets. It all sorted itself out, but OU is really, really struggling right now, and they do not play defense hardly at all. And in West Virginia, they have to win on Saturday to have any chance of getting a conference championship in the Big 12. So, you know, you got two teams coming up that have been up and down the last few weeks, and you certainly got a team on Monday, OU, that's capable of going off for, you know, 90 to 100 points and could maybe steer their season in the right direction. West Virginia seems to play KU really well in Lawrence the last few years, and of course they were in control until KU had the miraculous comeback late last year. This is going to be a very daunting task coming up, even though both games are at home.
Yeah, I completely agree, and you know, you're right, a little bit of the shine's come off that apple of Oklahoma right now, but on any given night, Trae Young could explode for 9 threes after missing 9 threes the other day, and that's what you have to be ready for come Monday. He's going to play loose and free and with house money, and even though they don't defend, and that was a spot-on observation, boy, can they score it, and that'll be a tough one. Obviously, West Virginia comes first, and West Virginia with ESPN Game Day in the house, a 2008 national title reunion going on, Cole Aldrich's number going up in the rafters. There's a lot of potential distractions, and yet, you know, Coach Self has said, and he does a really good job of keeping his guys focused on the task at hand, February 24th in Lubbock won't matter at all if we don't take care of business these next two games. If you go to Lubbock down 2 all of a sudden, then you're really in a tough spot. If you go to Lubbock down 3, your battleship's been sunk. So, you know, Tech could lose this weekend in Waco. We'll see. But you have to assume they're going to keep on winning, and you got to keep on winning so that you, at worst, are one game back heading into Lubbock with a chance to play for a tie. And that means holding serve these next two games. So they're absolutely huge. The tougher of the two might be the first one based on the way Oklahoma's been playing. But then again, anytime you got a player as explosive as Trae Young, you know, he could step up and beat you and hang 50 on you. So that's something that Kansas has to be prepared for as well. But it's going to be a fun 48 hours, man, from Saturday night to Monday night, with those two guys coming back, Sharon and Cole, to have their numbers retired, with the bulk of those players from 08 being back. I think there's three guys out of the group that can't be there. It's going to be really exciting to have that many guys back to celebrate 10 years of that. And looking forward to it, and hopefully two big wins, because the last time we had a reunion a couple of weeks ago for 120 years of Kansas
didn't
hoops, that was a miserable vibe walking into that banquet on Saturday night on the heels of a home loss to Oklahoma State. So hopefully we'll see that much, much better for Kansas real soon.
It's hard to believe it's been 10 years since Kansas won the title in 08. I mean, I can remember that vividly, just like it was yesterday, and that's how fast time flies already a decade later. All right, time for our off-the-wall question. Winter Olympics are taking place right now. I guess I should first ask, have you watched any of the Winter Olympics?
I haven't, and I hate that. I hope that's not un-American or not patriotic. It's just been so dang busy with the quest for 14 straight. But I did catch a little bit of hockey at the gym yesterday, and hopefully I have a chance to watch more, but that's about it for me.
Have you watched Winter Olympics before in your lifetime?
Oh, of course.
Okay,
of course.
Good. So I can still ask the question then. What is your favorite Winter Olympic sport to watch?
It's the only time I ever get into hockey. And
okay.
I know it's a
so
team
it
sport,
hockey.
So it's kind of a cop-out. You're looking for like a creative answer.
Yes, I was.
I think curling is pretty cool.
You think curling's cool?
Yeah,
do
I think
really?
That's something that
I just texted
the average
texted
Joe.
Man,
no. Well, I'm one of those guys that what's the game you play at the bar where you slide the rock
down there
with shuffleboard? Yeah, I enjoy that. I think every average Joe could get out with a broom and a rock and start, you know, pushing that broom vigorously and try to get the thing to slow down just based on our shuffleboard prowess. So to me, that's the common man's game in the Winter Olympics. None of us can get up on the slalom and be bouncing around on the moguls and all that. And certainly I don't think Wade Gerstner even has a triple sow cow in
his
arsenal.
No,
so,
can't even spell
but
it.
But curling, that's the common man's sport that anybody listening at home can get off their couch right now and get out there and try and make it happen. Not to the point of gold. I'm not belittling what they do. I'm just saying it doesn't take supreme athletic prowess. So to me, that's one I've enjoyed watching.
Thus,
that's your best off the cuff answer.
Thus, my follow up is it really a sport, and if any Joe off the couch can play it? Because I was at lunch yesterday, and it's so funny you said curling, because I texted Dusty and I was watching, and they had curling on TV at lunch here in Glen Elder on the square at Hebrews, and I watched it for about 2 minutes. I'm like, that's 2 minutes I won't get back. And I was just like, this is just boring to me. Shuffleboard, actually playing it yourself, is fun. But watching curling on TV, these guys with the brooms and one guy yelling at him when he releases a stone, I'm just like, dude, that's just – I told my friend over at Dusty, I said, I think that's one of the most boring sports there is to watch. But hey, you like curling, that's fine. I will challenge you to a curling duel. How's that? Now, that would be more entertaining. You and me in a curling duel.
Yeah, that would be fun. And full disclosure, you asked me for my favorite Olympic event when I've watched none this year.
True.
And I saw a 10-second curling video where somebody replaced the rock or the stone with a cat.
Oh, well,
and
that's
I thought
better.
It was hilarious.
That's much better.
And so I was basing my entire answer off that 10-second Facebook video.
Well, you should
so
have said that sooner. Curling with a cat, as long as the cat isn't harmed, is much better than regular curling. Now I'm with you.
Google that when you go to commercial break. It's good entertainment, I promise.
Curling with a cat? Curling, yeah. What's it officially titled? Curling with a cat?
I don't know.
Cat
it just
curling?
Popped up on my
okay.
Yeah,
all
cat
right.
curling.
Cat
sure.
curling? Okay, cool. I'll check that out. Maybe that'll be at the next Winter Olympics. That could be scary. I got a feeling PETA might not like that. Hey, man, two really big games coming up, as we mentioned. Saturday, West Virginia, Monday, OU. The good news is you don't have to travel. They're both at home. Have a great call, and we'll talk about them next week with you.
Man, if we win them both, I'm going to be turned up next Thursday, all right? Heading to Lubbock with a chance at 14 straight on the line. So let's get these two pieces of business taken care of and then get set for what could be the game of the year if Kansas puts itself in position for it coming up next week.
Sounds like a plan. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Take care, man.
Thanks, bud. See ya.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.